Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The sound of that sitar can mean only one thing. We're only a few movies away from discussing Mike Myers' iconic film, The Love Guru. And the only way we can get through it is with all of you horny babies. Live. We're going to be discussing The Love Guru live. Our first live episode ever will be our discussion of The Love Guru. Cameron and I have never seen it before. And the honest truth there is we've been too scared to see it. The entire podcast is building up to this one point. The Love Guru is the key to the puzzle that is Mike Myers. You'll be the first to find out what our genuine reactions are to The Love Guru. I'm really worried that I will genuinely love it. And that's why we can't do it alone. We're doing a live episode at 3 p.m. Sunday the 21st of May at the Chippo Hotel on Abercrombie Street in Chippendale, Sydney. Tickets are only $10 and all the links and information in the show notes for this episode. So click on all of that, all of those hyperlinks. And as you know, that is when the Sydney Comedy Festival is happening. It's not part of it, but it's happening around it. So we will have some of the best Mic Check heroes ever discussing The Love Guru with us live. So you got to be there. Horny babies, we're too afraid of the Myers curse to talk about this movie alone. So please pick up some tickets for $10 to see us and a bunch of Mic Check heroes discuss The Love Guru live at the Chippo Hotel on Sunday, May 21st. Blessed be, horny babies, and blessed be Mike Myers.
It's Mic Check, it's Mic Check, the podcast by Mike Myers.
Man, that was a good makeout session.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ready to record now?
Yeah, I'll hit. Wait a second, I've already been recording.
Oh no! Hello, horny babies. Welcome to another thrilling edition of Mic Check with Cameron James and Alexi Toliopoulos, the only podcast where two comedians watch every single film in funny man Mike Myers' canon just to check if they're still good or not. And so far, pretty good, but mostly horny, if I'm going to be honest.
He's one of the horniest actors known to man.
That's true. That's the main defining feature of him.
As describing a film as horny, I think, is pretty good. Was it good? It was horny.
And that voice that you're hearing with us, the dulcet tones. I mean, obviously, you've got my voice. I'm Cameron James. And who's the other voice?
And obviously, you've got my voice. I'm Alexi Toliopoulos. Isn't it weird when your own name is funny sometimes?
You have a hysterical name.
Well, how about I've introduced myself. Why don't you introduce yourself, third mystery guest?
All right, hello, mystery boys. It's me. It's Mark Samuel Bonanno.
Yay!
Yes.
And we're all here. We're all horny. And we're all ready to go.
Oh, I tell you what, the movie we just watched made me bar up so intensely that I can't wait to talk about it.
And that movie, of course, was Shrek the Third. Which, just coincidentally or not, I'm not sure, rhymes with Shrek the Turd. I don't know if that's a coincidence or if they thought of that in the marketing.
Well, the world is full of intricacies and coincidences such as this, so we'll never truly know. I actually do have a story to tell you about the naming of this movie.
Please.
But right. Do I say it right now?
Yeah, because the second one was just called Trek 2, right?
Yes,
Shrek,
and then, Shrek 2.
And which then, actually, now I think about it, rhymes with Shrek Poo. I mean, the plot thickens.
And what's the name of the fourth one?
Shrek Forever.
Shrek Diarrhea.
Oh, that's great. I love that they just went with the conventional two, but then we're like, no, we've got to fucking mix it up for the next couple of ones.
It's like, they went for it. Shrek the Third. Now, what's your funny story, Alex?
So,
and it better be funny.
The film was developed under the title of Shrek 3.
Okay.
By March 2006, it had been retitled to Shrek the Third. According to the director, Miller, they didn't want to just sort of title it like it was just a sequel. They wanted something to make it stand on its own, give it its own personality, really try to treat it as a chapter in Shrek's life. And Huey remarked to, I don't know who that is, it's about Shrek becoming the new king of Far, Far Away. The title sounds kind of royal as well. Everything I said was in quotation marks. That was the real people that made this movie talking about this movie.
Wow.
We wanted to make it stand on its own, give it its own personality as a chapter in Shrek's life. Also, the title sounds kind of royal as well.
I mean, Shrek is the king.
Sort of.
For a bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be...
Why don't they call it Shrek King for a bit?
It's kind of like he doesn't want to be the king, but then at the end when he sort of comes around to being king, he's not the king. Someone else becomes the king. I'm really confused
There's
about
a lot
the
of
arc
kings,
in this episode.
A lot of kings going on in this. I reckon my idea for a title, Shrek 3, Kings of Shrekanos. That's all I think. That's what I think it should be called. Would it be the great title, more descriptive, and it's also kind of royal.
It is kind of royal.
Shrek
the Third.
In the beginning, Shrek met Donkey.
We can stay up late swapping manly stars, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Then we met Fiona.
You think that Shrek is your true love?
Yes.
Then he met the parents. A little faster. And Puss in Boots.
Edible.
Think you've seen it all?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Now...
This kingdom needs a new king.
With soft and bouncy hair.
It's Shrek the Third.
Never fear, Dunk is here.
With more villains.
Attack! Olé!
More romance.
You are the love of my life.
Us are you.
I gotta go.
More danger.
Everybody stay calm. We're all gonna die.
Ta-da! Cookie.
More magic.
Donkey.
I feel all exposed and nasty. Get him.
I got this.
Oh, kill it.
Ah!
This summer.
Ah, scratch that line.
Shrek.
There's a whole lot more Shrek.
I smell Shrek Jr.
DreamWorks Shrek the Third.
I'd like to perhaps begin by asking you guys what you think this movie was about. If you could summarize that for me.
Well, it's about the third chapter in Shrek's life.
Yeah, and what is that chapter?
It's in some convoluted way, it's about, I think, the core of the movie. I really don't know because there's a couple of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's either about Shrek learning... about responsibility.
Yes.
I think probably that's the bigger overall
thing. Okay, I guess that's
thing.
The broad thing, yeah.
Mm. The broad theme is about Shrek learning responsibility, which he's kind of done before, but it's all right. We can go again. That's fine. he hasn't learnt yet. And then there are themes of becoming a father, I think is the... But nothing's completely fleshed out.
No.
At
all. It's the same with Shrek 2, which we just watched, and we got to the end of it and went... What was this movie about? And we realize it's literally the morals of Shrek 1 again.
Yeah.
Right.
But this time there's a sexy little puss in boots who...
Cameron.
I am barring up when
I
think about it.
Detecting a metallic smell in the air.
I can't fully remember Shrek 2. Is Puss in Boots the antagonist in that film?
No, for about 3 seconds.
Right.
And then he becomes just another one of Shrek's buds.
Yeah. It's weird. Shrek, I mean, he's quite the prick, as we've said before.
Yeah.
But somehow people are drawn to him, like cool dudes like Donkey, Puss in Boots, Pinocchio.
Yeah, yeah. He's got
three
like
little
this,
pigs.
Yeah, like this ragtag sort of entourage of like fucking like really sweet fairy tale characters.
Rad dudes.
Yeah, who are all real rad and just up for a good time and having a laugh. And Shrek just kind of, yeah, but he's a jerk. But we were talking about before while we were watching the movie, my favorite thing about Shrek is that when he's, and it happens in all the movies, is when he's real rude and he's a real ogre and then feels instant remorse. Every time it's he's really mean to someone.
You really tear someone
he'll
down.
He'll tear him down. He'll just, and in this one it comes out of fucking nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Like he's trying to get this kid to become poorly played by Justin Timberlake. Can we talk about
Arthur Pendragon?
Arthur, or what's his? He's got Artie. A cool nickname, Artie.
Artie.
And it's because he's Artie.
He's an but he's not.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
just bad at sport, which doesn't necessarily mean you're artistic.
Well, no. For me, it did. Should we try and like just summarize the plot of this movie?
Well, that's what I was trying to do. I don't.
I think when you said what's it about. I mean, Mark and I were like two like deep thinking guys.
Yeah,
we're
I went
like,
real deep.
We were like,
sorry.
You mean thematically?
Well, that's what I meant. That was the story, but what's the plot, guys?
Okay, the plot.
Oh, God.
So Shrek and his beloved Fiona are married. They're having a second win in their marriage, I would say. Things are going pretty good. And Fiona's dad, the king of Far, Far Away Land, who tragically turned back into a frog.
A frog.
He turned into a frog at the end of the first movie. And tragically, he did transform back into a frog. And then you find out he's about to croak.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, Alexi.
That is really funny.
That joke is worthy of the Shrek the Third screenplay.
I can't believe no one said that in the movie. That's so funny.
Thanks, guys. You know what? I'll be honest with you guys. I wasn't even sitting on it. It just came out. That one actually
that
just came
improv,
out.
That was improv, dude?
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't a note.
I don't have my phone in front of me.
That's amazing.
That's so funny. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Say it again one more time.
So, the king,
yes.
who tragically has been transfigured back into a frog, he's on his last legs. Be it frog's legs.
Oh my God!
Another one.
He's punching
while
up.
He's
his
going
own
to
bit.
The. Oh yeah, my yeah, God! Yeah. He's punching up his own This is so good. Yeah. Okay.
He's lost. Frog's legs.
Yeah.
He.
Go
he
on.
Doesn't have long left. He's about to croak.
Oh, yes.
Oh God. Okay. Anyway, let's hop to it, guys. Let's
oh
get through
my
the
God.
Wait, I don't get it. Wait, what?
Because frogs hop, dude.
Get out. Are you fucking with me
yeah,
right now, dude?
I was just trying to play on your level, dude.
That's
I can't compete
actually,
with the king, but
no,
like,
no,
I, just...
that's, I get it now, and I think it's really fucking awesome, dude.
Thanks, man.
That's
thanks
actually
so much.
And I just
awesome.
Want to say again, Mark, thanks for having us in your lily pad here to record today. Lily pad.
Pretty Fox good.
That was a good rebit.
Sleeper. Damn it. I can't.
He's the king.
I mean,
he's the king.
He is.
So anyway, he croaks. Actually, he dies. I was just saying
he dies.
He's dead. So he dies. And it's a really weird scene because we are, at this point, watching a children's movie.
Yeah, it's a kid's movie.
We must remember
and
this.
And this is kind of the, not the opening scene. The opening scene, arguably, is as dark or it's thematically sort
yes.
of I mean it opens with Prince Charming it's Prince Charming who is now a failed actor in a tavern
in a dinner theater
off Broadway
this is like the sorry for anyone that works there but kind of like the Dracula's or the Witches in Britches equivalent
it's beneath
but worse it is beneath that
it's worse
because those are some good people and some fun times
and
they're all
great
just
actors.
Trying to make it in the arts
yeah that's right and apparently that's what Prince Charming's interested in now as being an actor.
He's an artist.
That's kind of come out of nowhere. But anyway, that's the setup for the movie. And he's failing and crying and just being like, my life is shit. My life is a mess. Opening of a children's film.
But even before that, the first thing we see the Beautiful DreamWorks logo. the moon with a little boy trying to catch a fish.
Of course.
Up in the sky.
Or a dream.
Yeah, never thought about it that way. Pretty creative stuff, those guys. And then he's sitting amongst the clouds. Then the clouds begin to turn.
That's right. Which is what we were talking about, which is like a big foreboding.
Yes.
Like it sets the tone of the whole film. It's dark clouds, lightning, rain.
Finally, we're seeing The Empire Strikes Back of the Shrek universe.
It is. It's come at a Return of the Jedi time.
Exactly.
But that's okay. It's never too late.
Some more fun Ewoks instead of, you know, people dying at the start of the movie.
Very dark film. It's a kid's film, though. Mm-hmm. I must impress that upon you. So, yeah, we get that opening scene where the Prince Charming is, like, furious. He's upset. He's depressed. He realizes, I need to get revenge on Shrek. I need to get back to be the king of Far, Far Away.
Yes.
Yeah. Smash cut to Shrek in bed with Fiona.
Yep.
Nude.
He's nude. She's wearing a very modest nightie.
And she is thick.
She is so thick.
She knows how to wear a nightie. It just hangs off her.
Yeah. And then, you know, all the crew come in. Donkey dragon babies. Donkey rips the sheet off, sees Shrek's dick, we think.
He definitely sees
Shrek's dick because he says you need to get pajamas. So at this point, Donkey has seen Shrek's dick and is like, man, your dick is fucked up. you need to get some pantaloons for that.
We don't see it, but we know it's there.
We don't see it, but we do smell it. This movie does come with a scratch and sniff card. Yeah. So.
And what does it smell like?
It smells like turds.
It's got a third smelling dick.
Good.
Well, I think with ogres, it's much more like the female anatomy where the asshole is quite close to the genitals.
Okay. It's a cloaca, basically. Oh, yeah. Ogres have one hole.
Yeah, okay.
It's a one-stop shop.
That's right.
Yeah. I love a cloaca because it's the only time you can have vaginal and anal at the same time.
Awesome, dude.
Which is, you know, which is why this movie was so horny, you know? Like, it's a good kids movie. It's a good kids movie. There's a big Shrek's dick joke right at the top, right? Just to set everything up for where we're going. Yeah. And then we go straight into a funeral scene, basically.
Yeah. And that went for a long, long time.
A long ass time. Like, but that was also disturbing. So the king dies. It's really upsetting. This frog dude is slowly passing away. He's having his last breaths.
Yeah.
And he uses that time. His daughter, his wife are in the room. He's talking to fucking Shrek.
Yeah. He's going, Shrek, you're the next in line. You got to step up. This is your responsibility. And Fiona's just... in the back. God, they shit on Fiona in this movie.
Oh, my God.
They really
do. They just don't write for her. She does nothing interesting.
She's a fucking doormat of a character, dude. When I see Fiona...
But she doesn't have to be.
She doesn't have to be. She can do The Matrix. We've seen the first Shrek.
Like, I loved that in the first movie. Like, I know... I don't know if you guys completely agree, but I think the first movie is a solid script.
I think
the script is solid. It's an interesting story. It's a character piece. It focuses on one character.
It's his journey.
He goes from asshole to not so much asshole.
Asshole to cloaca.
Yeah, asshole to cloaca. And that's an interesting journey for a character, right?
It's a
good character piece, I would argue. As ugly and as... badly animated. Is this DreamWorks' second film from memory after Ants? It was their follow up to Ants, I believe.
And before they'd done Prince of Egypt.
Oh, had
Which
they?
Which was yes. not.
But 2D. That's a 2D.
2D, and I believe it's a musical as well.
Right. So, second 3D animated feature. Their first original one. Ants was not original. Fuck you. For anyone who says, I'm a big Pixar fan. Yeah. And so, anyone that says Ants is better, I'm sorry.
But, it's got Sly in it.
Yeah. I know, it's got Shy Sloan, and I love Sloan. Like, I'm a big Sloan fan. But it's like, it's also centered around Woody Allen.
Yes,
he fucks kids.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just this.
But if you're an ant, it's okay.
It's like the Manhattan of fucking animated films, and I don't give a shit. Like, he's all neurotic, and who gives a shit? Like, it's ugly, and it's ugly. That movie is dark and ugly.
Like Woody Allen's soul.
Yeah, awful, right? Bug's Life is fun and happy.
Yeah, Dave Foley.
Dave Foley.
Louis Dreyfus.
We love Dave Foley here. He's one of Mike's best friends. One of Mike Myers' best friends is Dave Foley.
Right, I didn't know that.
Well, you learn.
It's a beautiful
film.
And did you know that it's very closely? They basically took plot points from the Three Amigos.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's the same.
Which I really like. Then, it's a homage. They talk about how it's a homage. They love that film, you know. And then some people say, "Oh, well, then Ants is technically more original." But the whole fucking concept of it was ripped right from Pixar. So fuck you.
Yeah, man.
It's a beautiful film. It's bright. It's interesting. I could go on for
days.
Now,
Mark is standing up while he's saying this and just. Pointing, he's holding the microphone, Good Morning Vietnam style.
He's leaning in, leaning back, he's spinning around.
He's pointing at me, I'm sweating. He's now sitting on a stool having a sip of beer.
He's got a wet pad in his hand, like a notepad that's drenched in his own sweat.
On my other hand, I just have a wet, like female sanitary pad. But that's the different story for another podcast, boys.
Oh, God. Jeez Louise.
Anyway, if you ever do a Pixar film, please, I'd love to come back.
Of course.
It won't happen after.
Well,
the,
we will do the Search the Foley's Grail, where we will talk about Bug Life one day.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great film.
But
anyway.
So anyway, Shrek, he's a bitch or whatever. He's real mean to his wife. I mean, I just hate seeing Fiona be treated this way.
Yeah.
Because Shrek is a really bad husband. She's trying to subtly talk about children, about the prospect of having children.
Yeah.
And it's just like, she can't even feel comfortable in her own relationship to the man who's her one true love that made her stay fuck ugly forever to suit his fuck ugly lifestyle. She's changed her fucking life. She grew up in a beautiful palace with quite nice parents.
And she was hot.
She was
beautiful
babe.
And
she was
and
slim
she...
and they still animated big boobies on her.
Yeah. And the thing is it's like if it was her true love... And she, it didn't matter. It's not about looks and all that. Great. Mm-hmm. But Shrek has got to fucking step up and be like the man of the hour, you know? But he's not. Yeah. He's a klutz. He's caused thousands of dollars of damage at this point
God.
In the film.
Oh, my God. I would
film.
Hate to be cleaning up that mess he made in that opening montage. So, okay. Yeah, all right.
He's just turned into a klutz as well, by the way. I don't remember that.
No,
I might be wrong,
well,
but I don't remember that being
a
part
strong.
Of Shrek.
Shrek has always been far stronger than he knew.
Right.
You can almost say he doesn't know his own strength.
Yes, that's what... You can almost say that. And I almost did
you
say
almost
it, but
did
I didn't.
Say it. You danced
I
around it.
I kind of didn't say it because I didn't remember that was a phrase that people normally use
right.
to describe that exact thing. And so, I mean, she has changed her entire life to suit his shit lifestyle. She lives in a fucking swamp.
Which she loves now all of a sudden.
But
like in this movie she says, she's like, don't worry, we'll be out of this palace soon where she grew up and that's the world she knows. Mm. And we'll be in our fucking shit hut covered in mud with fungus. Mm. And she's talking about it like that's where I want to be.
Yeah, you know.
She's changed everything about herself to suit this fucking arrogant, egotistical fuck up of a bloke.
Well, look, I don't know.
It's so sad.
What I would say to that is, you know, home is where the heart is. Or in this case, maybe where the fart is,
where
guys. Because this is a grubby movie.
But as well, listen, Fiona, I've got to get all of this off my chest because it's brewing up in me. I'm about to shed a tear for this poor lady. She's had a really hard life. She's got Stockholm syndrome coming out the wazoo. She was locked in a tower for generations by a fairy godmother and the dragon for some spell or some shit. And now the first man she meets, she latches onto, and he is not a good guy at all.
No.
But she doesn't. She feels like she doesn't deserve any better.
Is Shrek a fuckboy?
He's not a fuckboy. He's a troll.
He's a massive troll.
He's an underdweller. He's worse than a fuckboy.
He trolls.
He's a guy that doesn't even fuck.
No, well, they do fuck in this movie, which
he
is
does,
the next big plot point.
He does squirt one in her.
Yeah, and this was a really interesting part of the movie in the plot where Fiona's like, you know, Shrek, maybe we should, you know, try for a baby.
Yeah.
And then Shrek, for reasons that don't make any sense and are completely unexplored as well.
Yes.
Just because he's stock man character.
Yeah.
Just goes, oh, man, babe, I don't want kids. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm young, man. I'm fucking... I can't have that responsibility in my life. Like, he's some fucking artist pursuing, like, his band and is like, I can't be weighed down with this shit. I'm a man of the world. I'm a free spirit. I'm going to roll with the wind. I'm
going
to, you know...
I'm going on tour, babe. I'm going on fucking tour.
Are you kidding me? My career's just kicking off now, and you're bringing this up now. Is this on purpose?
This is crazy. We're opening for COG this year. We're on tour opening for COG.
It feels like you're trying to bring me down. Like I'm about to fucking set off into the stratosphere and you just want to chain me down, bitch. I don't fucking get it, man. Like, that's his attitude for no reason. He has no reason not to want to settle down and have a family.
Yes,
everyone
that's so
else
true.
In his life is doing it. All his friends.
Even
are
Eddie Murphy,
kids.
The donkey, who is in a band, I'm pretty
he
sure.
Is in a band.
Yes, he's
Donkey's
in a band.
He's a famous singer from this world.
Exactly.
And he's like got all these cool kids. He loves it. He's good at it.
I don't understand how Shrek can't look at his best friend Donkey and see that this guy has suffered from depression, as we've talked about in the past episodes. Donkey is a clear bipolar depressed character.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shrek looks at him, who is truly flourishing in his life as a father now.
Mm.
Sure, he doesn't talk to his wife at all in this movie, but he is a great dad for his little kids. Yeah, sure, he abandons them for a few hours in the movie, but still, he's a great dad and he's so happy and so fulfilled. And he misses them, and Shrek just doesn't fucking get it. Instead, what does he do? He has a fucking nightmare about being a dad where he's got these little fucking ugly Shreklings hanging around him that all of them look like the dead baby from Trainspotting.
Yeah.
And his nightmare is very Trainspotting-esque, where they puke on him and stuff like that. They're crawling on the roof and stuff, turning their heads around.
Right, and so not only on top of that, that's right, so he's mad, he's worried about being a dad, no reasons given, but now also he's the next in line to step up, he's got to be the king, but he finds out there's like a second Skywalker, like there's a Leia whose name's Arthur, and so him and his fucking donkey and his cat.
Him, his entourage.
His entourage.
Turtle. Johnny Drama and E all go across the seas to find Arthur Pendragon, who will be the heir to the throne.
And you start hearing the name Arthur. Arthur, what is this? Some sort of fucking rich dude who's got to live the life of a pauper to stay rich or whatever?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, hang on a second. There's another famous Arthur. The Arthurian legend.
Yeah. So now we're leaving like fairy tale lore, which so far Shrek has exclusively been.
Yes.
And now we're going into
fantasy.
I didn't even think about that. Medieval like folklore.
Yeah. It's not even like Grimm's Tales anymore. It's just like, fuck, we're running out of ideas. This movie is Shrek the Third. It's a kind of royal. Let's bring in some fucking King Arthur legend.
Yeah. So at this point in the movie, there's three narrative streams that are happening. You've got Shrek going on his journey to find King Arthur to get away from being a father and also to avoid being a king.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack there. You've got, then you've got Prince Charming, who's developing a plot with all the other, like, the ugly stepsisters and Captain Hook. And no one
and
else
some
really.
Witches.
And then some witches, some random witches and some random bandits.
Rumpelstiltskin's
there who, do they allude to him? They allude to him being something like a sex pest. Like they say, there's some weird joke in there. I can't remember exactly
Everyone's
what it is.
Everyone's fucking in this movie. Seriously.
There's so much fucking going on in this movie. I can't remember. They say something to him and it's real weird and it's got a real dark undertone.
I think from memory, doesn't he say, hey guys, I'm Rumpelstiltskin, the pedophile.
That's right. That must be what it is. It's real subtle.
Yeah.
It's and it's in the way that he says it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that
yeah.
makes me think that it's that. Yeah. And then you've got Fiona who's doing fucking jack shit.
She's preggo.
She's pregnant, but doesn't get a belly or anything.
No.
Stays slim.
No, yeah. Well, she stays thick.
She stays thick.
But some girls carry it that way.
But they don't show her pregnant at all, which is really fascinating.
She's holding
triplets. And she doesn't show at all.
She's not showing.
She doesn't show
early on. I mean, how long has she known she's been pregnant for? Because she's been bringing it up to him. She's like, we should have kids. And he's like, no. And then maybe when she finally confesses she's pregnant, maybe she's been pregnant for, what do you think, a week?
Well, I don't know how much time's passed. In my head, it was like, she was like, let's try for a baby. And Shrek's like, nah. Then they fucked. And the next day, they were pregnant. Which is insane because there's no way, I can't imagine in any real relationship, if the male figure was like, you know, in a heterosexual relationship, was being like, nah, man, I don't want to have kids. She's like, let's have kids. He's like, nah, I don't want to have kids. And she's like, let's fuck unprotected now and come inside me. And him being like, okay, so she might have been lying to him.
Oh, yeah, in that scene. See, that's why I think...
testing the waters.
I think she was bringing it up because she already knew she was late. Like, she hadn't got her green rag yet. And by the way, she does...
that is what she uses is a green rag.
I think they missed a prime opportunity to do, like, an ogre water breaking in this movie. Yeah.
For sure.
And
it's all mucus.
Or even something real
fun. An ogre pregnancy test or some shit.
Yeah. I'm amazed they didn't go down that path.
Yeah.
Like, she should have pissed on Pinocchio's nose. And if it grew, it means she's pregnant.
I mean, this film is adult enough as it is with its themes and stuff. Like, fucking why not, you know?
Yeah.
They missed that opportunity. Anyway, there's too much going on in this movie.
So, yeah, her plot point... essentially is she's pregnant
and useless
and she can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So she's hanging with her gal pals, which is an all-star cast.
It's an all-star cast.
Of characters and character actors.
And when we say all-star, we're not talking about the song that is very close to the set of the Shrek franchise. I'll tell you who the cast of these wonderful princesses are. We've got Julie Andrews is playing Queen Lillian, one of the funniest gals in history. And then we've got, as Doris, the ugly stepsister, we've got one of the greatest comedians in history, Larry King. She's so funny, Larry King. She's great. And then we've got Amy Poehler as Snow White.
Actually,
Maya Rudolph as Rapunzel. Amy Sedaris as Cinderella.
Incredible.
And Sherry O'Terry as Sleeping Beauty.
Like, those four are incredible. Like, great casting.
Yes. Mm.
I could give or take. I could lose Julie Andrews. She's fine.
Yeah,
but you know,
replaceable. Like, there's other, you know, songstresses of that ilk.
Or just get Larry King to do it as well.
Get Larry King to do half the voices. That's fine. But
keep those four.
That, like, all-star cast, they don't really get to do anything funny, and they don't get any real defining characteristics between them at all.
No, and a lot of the comedy that they do is physical stuff. It's physical comedy. So they're not even using these incredible comedians that they have with, you know, for their improv or their words. It's they, like, create the comedy around
that. Do you think that's one of the main differences between the way Pixar uses a voice cast and the way DreamWorks does? Pixar characters have, like, defining characteristics about them, and like you can tell them apart. And
here's the thing about Pixar: the biggest thing for me about Pixar, and the biggest example of why their casting is so good, the Linguini, the main guy in Ratatouille, which we were talking about, came out the same year as this movie.
Yeah.
So just compare those two fucking things, right? Linguini, the guy who voices Linguini, is one of, and I might be wrong here, but he just worked at Pixar. He was one of the artists there, like not a storyboard artist, but I think like a conceptual artist who did like a lot of painting and stuff, like scene setting. And they got him because he was right. And for no other reason. He had an interesting voice that suited the character, and they thought they could work him up. You know, they had a great director, Brad Bird, who's just one of the most
incredible
fucking animated film directors.
His live action stuff's pretty good too.
Yes, yeah.
MI4?
MI4, he did MI4.
Ghost Protocol.
And of course, the famous Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It was not very good. But it looks great.
The Iron Giant, The Incredibles, and soon to be The Incredibles too. He's fucking phenomenal.
He's one of the coolest dudes in history. But yeah, that's such a good example, because in this movie, that's great casting. All those guys are perfect. But one of the lead characters is voiced by Justin Timberlake, who's so bland. There's lines where he would say stuff where it sounds so robotic that we just started laughing.
It's laughable. And he's not a terrible actor. I mean, I've seen him in live action films. And,
and I'd love to work with him one day. So I'll agree,
if you're
he's good.
Like, we think you're phenomenal. But it's just, not everyone's a voice actor, or maybe he wasn't given proper direction. Or I don't know what happened.
I feel like it's the direct, because I've said this in the past about Mike's performance in these movies. They never feel like he is actually feeling the emotions that Shrek is supposed to feel. When he's yelling, it never feels like real anger. When he's sad, it always feels put on as well. I reckon then just not being worked up enough.
You
need Brad in there, just getting them all riled up.
You really do. You got to remember, Brad came in halfway through the process of Ratatouille. It was being directed by someone else, and the film was falling apart. And then they rang up Brad Bird and went, we need help. And he came in and made the movie what it is.
And that's why it's a masterpiece to this day.
And the other director turned out to be Barack Obama,
who went on to do a lot of incredible things. He went on to do John Carter
from Mars.
From Mars, yeah. Which is an incredible film.
The book, actually. He went back. Yeah.
He co-produced with Edgar Rice Burroughs. There's very interesting stuff. And he also went on to really change the world. He invented Fruit Loops. And that's one of Australia's favourite foods. Because a good thing about it is you don't have to have milk on it. In fact, it's maybe even better just to eat it as little candies.
It's breakfast, it's a snack, and it's a dessert. You can have it any time of the day, and you should never feel bad about it.
And you should have it all day.
You should. My shit is so thin from all the Fruit Loops I've been eating.
You can shit.
I've got the thinnest shit.
Thin shit.
Really thins it out. Anyway, so what else has happened in the news?
Should we talk about some more? So we've left far, far away land. We've gone into the world of Arthur. It's called, really funny name, Worcestershire.
Worcestershire?
It's called Worcestershire. And
it's high school, essentially.
It's a high school.
And they have a whole thing where Shrek's like, have we walked into high school, and it's like, oh god, here come the antics and the hijinks now.
Yeah. And they really do. It becomes a sexy high school comedy from like, this point.
It on. Goes a bit Dare Dorm.
Yeah, it goes like
it
does go a bit Dare Dorm because there's a one point when they're in the high school setting where young, definitely underage. Yet still fine girl.
I would say barely legal.
Yeah, a barely legal girl comes up to Shrek and she like asks him out to prom. And you can see Shrek is considering it because he's at that point where things with Fiona, he's like she's asking for more commitment from him.
Yeah.
And that is often when a man tends to stray.
There were so many one-off jokes in this film that would have been better storylines. Like that would have been way more interesting than Shrek goes to a high school for whatever reason, meets this 16-year-old girl, which I guess is legal.
Look, let's say nubile.
Let's say nubile.
I also want to throw the word pert in there if I could.
And then he's
I also want to say the word hot.
Hot. Yeah. Stephen Hot. And then Shrek's conflicted with his marriage. Do I want to be a dad or do I want to stay here and like smash puss and like just be a fucking like guy on the road who travels around and smashes like teenage. I can't believe that joke was in this fucking movie. It's so inappropriate. Yes.
And also there was a little weed joke as well. Yeah. We saw.
Oh yeah, stoners come out of the caravan. But
they're actually smoking frankincense and myrrh.
Which is what Jesus used to get high on back in the day.
So yeah. Jesus does exist in the Shrek franchise. I think Jesus is real in this movie. And maybe in Shrek Forever After, he'll be in it.
Oh, fuck.
I hope he's the villain.
Okay, so then he gets to high school. He meets Arthur, who, well, in a turn of events, is a nerd.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
and he has to bring Arthur back to Forever After. What's the land called? Far, Far Away.
Far, Far Away.
To be the king.
We got to remember that Arthur is like the loser of losers. Even like the nerds with braces
and nosebleeds
give him a wedgie off a basketball hoop in front of the whole school. So this kid is like bottom, even though he's got like the sexiest millennial voice in the fucking world by Justin Timberlake, and he's hot.
Yeah,
he's like hot. Super hot.
Well,
and
he's got great hair.
He's weird looking, but I think they meant to make him hot.
I think they meant to make him look like JT.
He's supposed to be hot.
Because I read in the last film, they were like, oh, finally we've... The Shrek films are embracing the looks of the actors they're casting. And they said that when Shrek turned into a human in the last film, it was based on Mike Myers.
It looked nothing like him.
Cameron Diaz, there's a bit of Fiona in the human.
Yeah, you can see that. You can see that.
There's a bit of Fiona in the human Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
This one, they tried to make him look like him, but he just looks really small and weedy because he's playing a freaking 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Cast an actual 15-year-old boy. I was freaking 15 when this movie came out. Where was Michael?
Yeah. It would have been a very different portrayal. I mean, a Greek Prince Arthur, or whatever his name is. Come on.
Dude, Greeks can be kings.
Name one.
Nick Giannopoulos.
Come on, bro. All right, do your wog search.
Right. Yes. Yeah, okay. You got me there. All right, so then that's basically the plot of the movie, right? From then on, he's got Arthur, and the rest of the movie is the same as Shrek 1 and 2, where it's a journey back to Far, Far Away in order to get out of some responsibility or something.
It's weird that all of these films have the same plot where it's always a fetch quest.
Yep. Going to get something, come back.
Quest and return.
But Toy Story, there's three Toy Story movies, soon to be
who
fourth.
Made Toy Story?
Pixar.
Okay.
Who are the... Look, they were the best and they've had a couple of off movies, but I think they're finding their feet again.
I think
again.
So.
But anyway... That's a whole nother podcast that I'll start one day. But Toy Story is the same movie three times over.
Okay, yeah.
Like really, it's like someone goes missing, they go and they get him back, right? That's the first two movies.
That's true.
And then the third movie is that everybody goes missing and they're trying to get back, right? Same movie three times. But it's about the characters. They focus it in on the characters.
It's a different internal journey.
That's exactly right, you know, and usually each film is focused on a different character and has a different sort of overarching theme.
So right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is possible. It's not like it's a third movie and it's like, well, they're hard to do. It is possible.
Yeah.
You know, they are hard to do.
Hmm.
But this just gives, it just throws everything out the window. It's like no one gives a fuck in this movie.
Well, it's impossible to crack the surface. I don't know what the internal journey of anyone is in this movie.
Because it's always the same thing where it's like the internal journey is Shrek tricks everyone because he does one good thing with like, Shrek's all right, he's a good bloke, but he's not. He's so mean to everybody.
But then he's not mean to everyone. He's just mean to Arthur in one scene and then instant remorse. The rest of the movie...
No, come on, Artie. Oh, no. Oh. And his eyes go all fucking sad and stuff. And it's like, all right. Yeah, you've done this in every movie, Shrek. Man up, bruh.
In the first movie, I felt like he was an asshole all the way through. Mm. And he's an asshole. And then he really pushes it. He really upsets Donkey, who's the only person who gives a shit about him. And then he goes, fuck, I've really got to take a look at myself in the mirror, right? But in this movie, he's kind of a bit clumsy. And then he just wants to avoid responsibility. But he's a nice enough guy. Mm. And then he's mean for no reason. And then he feels bad. It's just, it's so not... cohesive.
Yeah.
It's such a mess.
And it's not a Mike character. When you think about Mike Myers, what kind of characters do you think about that he can bring to the screen and, you know, bring life?
I think goofy. I think zany. Yes. I think off the wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
None of these things apply to the character of Shrek.
No.
He is a cipher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's thinking at any point. I don't think he knows what he's thinking at any point. He brings people down. He is reserved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's the opposite of a Mike Myers character. He's closer to Mike Myers, the man.
Yes.
Than a character.
I think that of all of Mike's characters, it is truly insane that his most grounded character is a fat fucking ogre whose dick gets seen by a fucking donkey in the first scene.
It feels like they had to load the movie with all these other characters.
Yeah.
for the comedy.
For the personality.
Yeah, and the personality and stuff. Rather than just like... Like, what was the thing that you were mentioning before? That is it Kratzenberg, the guy who the head of DreamWorks? You said something interesting before we were watching the movie about what the next two movies were going to be. They were announced in 2005.
I'll find
the quote.
Yeah, I'll find the quote.
I can't believe they were announced in 2005 and this came out in 2007. That explains a lot.
The whole pitch. So following the success of Shrek 2, a third and fourth Shrek movie, along with plans for a final, fifth film, were announced in May 2004, very long time ago, by Jeffrey Katzenberg, who said Shrek 3 and 4 are going to reveal other unanswered questions. And finally, in the last chapter, we will understand how Shrek came to be in that swamp when we meet him in the first movie. So what unanswered questions could we have?
I mean, can I just say,
you may.
I have zero questions
yes.
about how he got to that swamp.
Yes, I just assume he's fucking ugly and that's the only place he could hang
Ogres
out.
Ogres live in swamps.
Yes.
End
so
of
that's,
story.
That's the thing is it's like... Are they? Because then all they're doing is asking more questions. If ogres didn't used to live in swamps, then that's something that they're making up.
That's
like,
a question.
He's in the swamp because that's where he lives, and people are scared of ogres.
Mm.
So unless you're going to go back and show us a time where ogres and men
there was
got
like
along,
assimilation.
It was at that point in the evolutionary point where we split off from the ogres and we were not getting along like Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons, you know.
Which just asks more questions, you know.
Those doesn't answer anything.
That's
and why I don't want them answered.
I think we need to have an Animatrix sort of type tie-in or like a sort of Shrek manga or something.
The crazy thing about that, what you said that I cannot agree with, I don't think we need a Shrek Animatrix because the Shrek movies are already animated. When they did the
That'd
Matrix...
That'd just be confusing. Exactly. People would be like, is this a prequel or a fourth? Or
but when they did the Animatrix spin-off, the Matrix films, they're live action, they go into animation. What I'm suggesting is we flip it.
Okay, so we do live...
live action.
We do Shrek live.
We do Shrek live. Live and from a swamp. It's Shrek.
And it's maybe live streamed.
Yes.
And it just fills in some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, weekly, like weekly updates. We get figured, figure out more things about Shrek and the universe.
You have special guests on, you know, like.
Yeah, there's like a cast of players.
Of set guys that will come do it. But then every now and then we get one big spicy celebrity to kind of be in all of the Shrek parts.
Yeah. I'm into this because I think one question I have, if I have any, is why is Shrek so depressed? Does it come from something that happened to him that we haven't seen yet? Mm. Or is it internal? Is it an internal depression? Much like Mike's depression.
Mm, which is great fodder for a children's
animated
feature.
Well, again, this movie covers all the things that kids can relate to. Power struggle between grown men. Do I want to have children or not?
Isn't it weird?
The death of a father figure. Vengeance.
Marital issues.
Marital issues.
Also, high school. Another thing children of this market cannot relate to at all.
Which, and they only visit high school for like, it's like a, you know, 10 minute sequence at the most. It's
at that point you yelled out, pick a genre. And that's
100%
true.
I did yell out, pick a genre.
What is this movie? The best part of the movie is, and it's the most underwritten for Fiona, but it's her storyline once the siege happens, where Prince Charming's story and her story cross over.
And it's not unlike Game of Thrones when the evil armies or whatever, I can't remember who any characters are in that movie, when the ladies are trapped in the dungeons and they're like thinking like, well, obviously there's some very cranky bad men coming in.
Yeah.
And it's got the same vibe, and they in the Game of Thrones thing, they even can contemplate suicide rather than doing that. In this one, they're like, nah, my mum's got a very strong head.
My favorite plot point in this movie.
Headbutt the walls.
They're trapped in a dungeon, and then the queen just headbutts a solid blue stone wall, and then they're like, and breaks it, and they're like, how'd you do that? And she's like, where do you think you got your fighting skills from? Impossibly strong face. That's where you got it from. It's insanity.
But then she does. So she says that after the first wall break. She does it another couple of times. And then she clearly has some sort of brain damage.
As does one of Donkey's kids, which is completely unaddressed. Like, one of them is, like, completely cross-eyed and, yeah, like, can't, like, is just... So deep in the spectrum.
Well, look, retards are funny. And kids know that. Kids know that from a young age.
You know what would have made a great Shrek movie? Like, genuinely, right? Like, it's hard to... I just feel like they just miss the mark every time. But if, like... If Fiona and Shrek had to go on some sort of journey...
Please, that's what, right? All I want.
And then you've got the characters there. Then you can have them fighting and breaking up and getting back together. And that's stuff...
what I want to see, them getting back together.
Yeah,
you know? That makeup Shrek, dude, that's what I want.
But you can explore, like, themes of just, like, friendship that kids can connect to, you know, and it's just about people. You make it about... people. This movie is not about fucking anything.
No.
And when you make, like, seriously, when you make these silly animated films about human beings, you give these things human emotions, which is why I do think the Pixar films are so good. I will bring it up till I'm dead, right? But, you know, it's like you feel... Woody has fucking human emotions of rejection and being replaced and, you know, wanting to be loved. That's so fucking...
Yeah.
You know, core to who we are. Yeah. And this movie just has nothing.
I don't know what Shrek's goal is. It seems to be to avoid responsibility. That's it. Mm-hmm. So imagine watching almost 80 minutes of a character just being like trying to avoid some sense of responsibility. Yeah. That's not enough of a motivation to follow a character. And then at a certain point, he sees a cyclops cuddle his little fucking one-eyed child. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. I should be a dad.
Gotta step up.
Yeah. The cyclops says something like, wow, who'd have thought a fuck ugly monster like me could produce a beautiful cycloptic girl like this? And then Shrek's like, well, I guess that was my core problem here. And because I've heard someone else say it, my journey's done.
Smash cut to end of movie.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful analogy, isn't it, that a fuck ugly monster sees a fuck ugly monster love a fuck ugly monster. And he goes, I'm a fuck ugly monster and I see myself in that
relate
fuck ugly
to
monster.
That journey. Unbelievable. And like I said, I would much rather have watched 90 minutes of all those princesses, because there's some iconic princesses there. Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, Cinderella. Ugly
Rapunzel.
Stepsister.
Rapunzel.
Yeah. Which is what I call her. In a siege type situation where they all kind of have their own little skills and they step up to escape. That's a better movie for me.
Yeah, yeah. Or at least a super interesting beeline.
Yes.
That should be like, should have been half the focus of the
film. But it was maybe 5 minutes.
It's the C line to the villain story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Fiona, who's... C-line that is, arguably, does fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And it's all about all the other characters doing great things, and she literally does nothing.
And do you know a way we could make that such a simple little thing they could have done? Just a little character twerk to make it... Well, don't make the character twerk.
I would like that to make that character twerk.
But if all they could have done to just fix that up and add stakes to it and add Fiona's agency to it, she... is pregnant, why don't they make it, oh no, I'm about to bust open now. With these babies popping out.
Oh my God,
That C-line, let's give that character a C-section. Let's make it, they have to...
let's bring that all together.
Why didn't they do that?
They could have had her busting and she's about to blow, and that's the stakes. That's exactly right. They've got to get her out so she can give birth to these beautiful little Shreklets.
Yeah.
And then... But no, that doesn't happen. I don't even know what happens in the second half of that story.
Well,
line.
It's because we haven't touched on this at all, but Prince Charming wants to put on a big play and kill Shrek in a play.
Oh, that's right. He wants to be an actor for some reason.
That's the fucking other 50% of this movie that wastes so much time. Well, it's like you got 50% Shrek and then you got 25 Prince and you got 25 Fiona, right? And the 25 Prince is he takes over, all the villains come over, they take over the castle of Far, Far Away.
Yeah.
And he does it to put on a big production musical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, and he's got Shrek
which
trained
is about,
up like King Kong.
Which is the plot
Shrek
line
one.
Of Shrek 1?
Or
essentially.
It's what
Shrek
he
2.
He's imagined plot line would have been, where he is the guy that saves a princess. But instead, they've got Princess Rapunzel and Princess Fiona. And he wants to kill Shrek, who is now the fell beast.
So there's this meta element going on.
It's like the mechanicals in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a play within the play.
And the weird thing is,
Shrek is the beloved king of these people, and he's the guy that's come in and taken it all. But also, the production design is sensational in this play. I would be wrapped. I would be
it's
really
huge.
I'm like, this is worth it.
The prince
to getting this good.
The prince's introduction to the stage is he rises out of the floor in a giant clam.
Yes.
Yeah.
The clam opens up, and he's inside it riding a white horse,
and he looks gorgeous.
I mean, if you can get tickets.
Yeah,
you gotta go.
It's sold out, man.
Yeah. You
it's sold
go,
out
though.
For weeks. It's this is the Hamilton of,
yeah.
of Far Far Away.
Yeah, it's in incredible production. But he's put Shrek up in there, and these people already like Shrek. They don't like Prince Charming, and then Shrek is given a platform to start dressing
to
him
say
down.
Dialogue,
and he starts
Don Rickles style. And by the way, tragically, we did lose Don Rickles.
Rest in peace,
this
Donnie.
Week. He roasts Prince Charming big time and kills.
It's weird because
it's killing.
Shrek is the least funny character in this movie.
Yeah.
And he's the only one that gets laughs from that universe.
Yeah.
And he's doing like bad jokes. He's like, hey, Prince Charming, love your shirt. And he's like, oh, well, thank you. Yeah, they make it for men.
Yeah, it kills.
And he gets such a big laugh. And all I can think is, if I was Prince Charming, I would just go... just fucking dress Shrek down. I would fucking go nuts. Some fuck ugly piece of shit like that guy talk to me, a gorgeous man, body shame me. I mean, fucking people in glass houses do not throw stones, you fucking ugly, dirty piece of shit.
I probably would have made sure Shrek was chained up. I would have cut his dick off in front of that crowd.
But the other thing is that, isn't that crowd the people of Far, Far Away?
Yes.
Isn't Shrek... technically, they're
the
king.
King.
Yeah.
So, like, he comes up in chains,
yes.
and everyone's super chill about it. Like, no one's like, what's going on? Everyone's
yeah.
just like, this is a very interesting plot
King's
twist.
In the play.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking ill thought out.
Yes. It's fucked up. It's not a good plan. It's, but I mean, at
but
least
it does
stuff
make
happens.
For a good looking set piece. It reminded me of MI5.
Yes.
The yeah. opera scene in that.
It's very similar to that. It's very yeah. similar to The Man Who Knew Too Much. The Alfred Hitchcock.
Of course. The Alfred
yes.
Hitchcock.
Sorry, Alfred Hitchcock. It kind of looks like Shrek.
A little bit. Because what? Because I'm trying to think
if
of
Shrek
what
was
the...
whitewashed, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, which will happen eventually. Is there a fifth one coming out?
Yes, it's being written down by Michael McCullers, who is the writer of Austin Powers Spy Who Shagged Me, Gold Member.
Oh,
and,
my goodness. So it'll be good.
Baby Mama. He did Baby Mama as well. So it's Mike returning with one of his guys.
Oh, man.
I'm excited
I can't
for
believe
it.
A fifth's coming out. See, because I love... The Spy Who Shagged Me more than the first one.
Okay.
Only because, there's a reason for that, because that was the first one I saw.
Mm.
So when I saw the first one,
and
I was like...
You famously have to love things in chronological order.
That's true. No,
from what
you've seen. But the reason why I love the first, the second one the most, and why I think a lot of people, I think this is the case, like the first one the most, because then when I went back and watched the first one, I was like, these are all the same jokes from the second one.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
just like,
yeah.
you know, I've already seen these jokes, which is how you would have felt watching the second
yeah.
one if you were a fan of the first.
Yeah.
But I grew up with the second one.
Yeah.
And
he's like a cousin to you.
He is. We grew up across the road. We used to play Power Rangers yeah. together. You know, he had all the other Zords, but I had the Red Ranger one, which yeah. was the most important.
He was Horny Ranger, right?
He was Horny Ranger. And we used to fuck.
Dude, what?
That's yeah, man.
There was a few other things I'd love to touch on before we wrap the podcast up. There's one performer that we didn't talk about at all in this, someone that we all admire. Mr. Eric Idle plays Merlin.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
of course.
Mark, you famously, you know this guy.
Famous friends, yes?
We're very close, Eric
grew up
and
with
I.
The guy.
Absolutely. No, it's Eric Idle, for some reason, almost by accident, came to a show that I did. I'm in a sketch group called Auntie Donna. He came and saw our show in LA and then gave us a half hour worth of notes that were pretty brutal. Afterwards, Dylan Moran was a lot more brutal. Mm. Eric was slightly more
he's
supportive.
Chill.
Yeah, he was a
Eric's
bit more chill.
Eric's known as... the chill python.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I've met him and he's really lovely and really friendly and his family are like so cool and
yeah.
just the best. And the idols, I look up to them as idols.
Yeah.
They're my idols.
Yeah.
Not false idols.
No. And I think Australian Idol.
Australian Idol.
Yeah.
Mark, if you were ever worried about like maybe you couldn't properly criticize this movie because you're too close to one of the blokes in it,
absolutely.
I can assuage your problems right now, because in the Wikipedia page for this film, under the heading controversy.
Oh my lord.
In the beginning of the film, in Prince Charming's dinner theater, coconuts are used for horses' hoof beats. Mm-hmm. The same technique was used in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which starred John Cleese and Eric Idle. Idle claimed to be considering suing the producers of Shrek for the unauthorized use of this gag, while the producers claimed they were honoring Idle and Cleese by putting the part in.
Well, that's how I saw it. Like, as an honoring. Well, when I first saw it, I was like, that's a bit cheap, but I can understand why, yes. You know, all the white men who made this movie would put that in because they probably all would have grown up on Monty Python.
They loved it.
Fine. Yeah. And then as soon as I saw that John Cleese and Eric Idle were in it, I was like, right, that's an homage. That's a little wink to them. But... oh, that's so funny. Eric, I think,
Can I just say, I hope that the lawsuit goes through and I hope Eric gets the money that he's
That would
owed.
Be great if he brought down all of DreamWorks.
And it was probably just because he's like, well, this movie fucking stinks. And he's like just trying to get it out there.
Yeah. I wonder if, I'm sure, he seems like a pretty switched on guy. I imagine he would have done that, taken the money, watched it and been like, this is horse shit.
Yeah.
There's no way he likes that movie. Which is great to think
I'd love
about.
To read his notes for it.
I would.
I'd like to hear Dylan Moran's notes for it, what he had to say.
There's also another thing that struck me as interesting as well. There's another heading on the Wikipedia page. Oh, no. That's where I do all my research, by the way, guys. Satirical marketing effort. Adult Swim comedy team Tim and Eric, annoyed by the volume of advertisement they had witnessed in the months approaching the release of this film, decided to independently promote Shrek the Third in a series of internet videos, as well as appearances on television and radio, to encourage people to see the film.
Well, I am massive Tim and Eric fan. I wasn't aware
of this. I remember watching all that stuff.
Oh my
God. After the fact, obviously, and thinking that it was the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I actually really think that they and them doing that is the reason why Shrek is such a meme to this day. Like
it must
the ironic
be.
I can't believe
embracement of Shrek.
I can't believe I haven't seen this.
They did another one kind of recently where they just kept promoting the new Mountain Dew high
so
voltage
good.
Or whatever it was called. With every interview they did, they just kept dropping the name Mountain Dew and kept like trying to insist people drink it and stuff.
When they were at, they got a film into Cannes Film Festival, their billion-dollar movie, and they do this one interview that is one of my favorite things I've ever seen in my life, where they just keep talking about, the interviewer goes, you know, so how's the movie going and how's the screening been? He's like, well, it would have gone well, but unfortunately we got Rango'd. And they're like, and the guy's like, what's that? He's like, well, when a film gets Rango'd is when they take out key sequences from your film and replace it with scenes from the animated Johnny Depp film Rango. And they don't let up for the whole interview. They just constantly talk about how the film, they haven't seen their movie because it's got Rango'd.
Oh, that's so funny.
I want to ask you guys as well, what were your favorite parts or favorite gags in this movie? What was the Micah's touch? What did you enjoy? Did anything make you laugh?
Yes, some things made me laugh.
Can you remember them?
No.
I'll tell you mine while you have a think. Please. I had two moments that made me actually laugh. One is in the beginning when we're seeing Shrek doing a montage of king things and he tries to christen a boat. And he's too strong. He leans on the boat and it just starts to push away. And so he throws the bottle of champagne at it and it punches a hole right through the boat and the boat sinks and then inexplicably bursts into flames. I liked that.
That's
crazy.
It's very Simpsons. Very derivative of the Simpsons.
It's quite Simpsonian.
Yeah, it is Simpsonian.
Which is probably why it's good.
That's why it's good. The other gag I liked was, and I don't really know why I liked this, Puss in Boots, who I famously have a crush on and want to just...
It's the no pants.
Just smatter in fluids.
Everyone wants to get him high on catnip and take advantage of him.
Puss in Boots is saying goodbye to his girlfriend, who is just a normal cat who doesn't speak.
Oh,
and then
this is the best.
Some other cat comes up and starts meowing at him and he says, goodbye to you too, my dear.
Oh.
And then another one and then another one and then... smash cut to, there's like 50 cats around him, and it's clear that he's been rooting all these cats, and these cats don't speak a word of English.
And are all oblivious. They don't know that they've been duped like this yeah. by such a con artist.
Yeah, and I just thought, is this guy...
What is the legal ramifications that we're seeing here? What is the parable that they are trying to make with this for us, people that are not cats in the real world?
Should we be... A, should we assume that this guy is a pickup artist?
Yes.
He's read the game. He knows his moves.
I think so. But also, he's just a Latin lover.
He's a Latin lover. Yeah. He's a root rat. But also, these cats are normal cats, I think.
There's an element there of like consent that I'm not sure if a fully sentient cat can fuck a normal cat and it be okay. Like, I mean, I guess they can because they're the same species, but like, would you, in the real world, if there was like a horse, if there was like a Mr. Ed type horse walking around that you'd have over for dinner and be like, hey man, are we catching up? We're playing sure. pool next week, right? And he's like, yeah. And then you would go over his house and he's just got all these just horses, just dumbed down normal horses, and he's just fucking them one after the other.
Stud style.
Yeah, he's like stud just boom, boom, boom. And all the horses are just taking it.
They're lined up. Bang, 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 bang.
Can't say anything.
Yeah.
He is just fucking filling them with cum.
But he's your buddy.
But he's your mate. Yeah. What do you do? Alexi, what do you do?
And you have to answer. And if you're lying, okay. I'll know.
Who do you call? Do you call the cops? Do you call the RSPCA? What do you do?
Well, I just go on an adventure with him. That's what I do. I take him out of the situation. That's the kind of guy I am. I take the guy out of the situation. We go to a fucking high school instead. Then we go to a high school, hang out there.
You just got to get him away from
and
that world.
I'll do a bit of research, just like what I assume Shrek has done in this movie. Because when they go to the high school, it happens to be, I don't think it just happens to be, I think it was planned that they end up in an auditorium where they are in fact talking about consent.
They are, aren't they?
There is a consent speech going on in there.
Yeah, because it says, just say nay.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is what your
that's my
Mr. Ed
touch,
friend...
That's my Micah's touch, by the way. That's my Micah's touch. Because that's funny. Consent is funny.
Oh, man. That's a really incredible moment. Probably my favorite thing in the movie was the completely unnecessary body switch.
Oh God! Like, see, that's another plot point I forgot about.
But it's not a plot point. That's the thing.
A plot point.
You can't put something that if you had switched, if they had not switched, the movie would have played out exactly the same.
Yes,
maybe so with true. One tiny less gag.
They didn't even learn a lesson.
They don't learn a lesson. It doesn't tie in to the narrative, or not even some bit of it is used in the climax to make it all sort of come together. And you know, like you know, nothing about it. That was my favorite bit because it's so brutally like some fucking idiot in the sixth draft. When it was like, I was talking about this before, you can really feel when you watch this movie, yeah. like the Dave O'Neill comedy, like there was like, we've got this script, but we've got to give it to a comedian.
We need to punch it up.
Yeah, we need to punch it up. We need to get some goofs. We need to get some gags in there. And they had all that written. And then this fucking idiot came up with the idea. It was just like, what if we just switch them? What if their bodies just switch for no reason? And then it'll just give us a few more gags. We can put some gags in there. And then we'll just have them switch back at the end.
And
which,
for no
by the
reason.
Way, it is a retread of the same joke in Shrek 2 when Shrek turns into a man and Donkey turns into a sexy stallion.
Yeah.
And you just get the same amount of gags from that of people just
of course.
Being confused. It's
And also, in a body switch comedy, the premise is these two people could not be more unlike each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're polar opposites.
Yeah.
They're Shrek and Puss in Boots, they're not that different. They're two fucking talking animals.
You mean Donkey
and Puss
in Boots?
Oh, sorry, Shrek. Yeah. Shrek is not a fucking animal. He's an ogre.
Yeah. Oh, he's an animal in the bedroom, all right?
Yeah.
I reckon he's a lazy lover, if I think about it.
I think, because is it true that the harder you fuck, the more babies you have? Is that it? So
that's
he had triplets.
He fucked real hard.
Because the movie ends with Shrek and Fiona having their babies. Shrek is finally happy to be a daddy. And we just get a nice little tasty montage.
Not only happy, he's gone fucking full dad.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
yeah.
There's no, like...
I mean, Shrek's the original dad bod.
Yes, he is the original dad bod. There's no teething. There's no... He's just gone, I am so into this.
Yeah.
Just comes out of fucking nowhere.
It's like, thank God I saw that fuck ugly Cyclops.
Oh man, God knows how this would have been.
Yeah,
right?
Otherwise I'd be here trying to fucking kill my own kids.
And he's crushing it. He's crushing it as a dad as well. He's not clumsy. He's not fucking it up. He is just hitting every note, man. Pitch perfect.
Well, I'm excited to see what's next in the Shrek saga. Will he continue to be a good dad? Or will he go back to being a depressed loser? Mm.
What could the fourth one possibly be about?
And I can't, what I can't
else,
imagine.
What else is there? He's been a human. He's had his journey three times so far. He's been the... What could happen?
I'm going to guess, because it may as well happen at this point, Fiona dies and he's just got to live with that.
I'll say Shrek as a widow, although I'd rather Shrek die.
Yeah.
Because Fiona is potentially... She is an untapped mine of fucking character and intrigue.
I would love to tap her and make her mine.
She is thick.
She thick.
I just love to see her flourish and without this guy kind of, you know, covering the light, her photosynthesis can grow and she'll be a beautiful flower one day.
She was a beautiful flower, and the thing is, she can go back to being a beautiful flower.
The lesson of Shrek 1 doesn't matter how fuck ugly you are, it counts on what's on the inside, and Fiona's good, Shrek's bad, so that's the thing.
That's the thing.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us. Did this movie make you horny, baby?
Oh, baby, I got such a horn dog. I loved it, horn. It was so hot. Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I didn't get horny during this movie, but...
Puss in Boots?
Yeah, not even this time.
Okay.
Not even. Last time Puss in Boots made me horny.
Yeah, yeah.
But this time, nah.
There were so many things in this movie that made me horny. Like, because I love bad movies, and this is, like, right up there. This is...
Yeah.
Although the fourth now is on my bucket list. I can't wait to see what fucking happens in that.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm excited.
I might watch it when you guys leave.
Did you get horny?
I must say, I don't think so. Maybe some of the high school stuff because, you know, when you're watching high school stuff, you can't help but think about your own experience.
It brought me back. Bro, it brought me right back.
I was an infamous roots rat, so I was just coming back together for me there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess next time we're checking this movie, I'm going to say it was not good. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Not good.
One horny and two no hornies.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to say, check it, it's no good.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
But there's some stuff in it that made me laugh at.
Sure.
If you want to see an absolute mess, it's pretty perfect.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the opposite of a mess, can I recommend seeing Auntie Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thanks so much, mate. Cheers.
At Max Watts every night except Monday nights.
We did just add an extra show.
Is it on a Monday?
It's a Monday. It's Easter Monday.
Cameron, eat your words.
Please, for the love of God, come. It's at Melbourne Town Hall. In the main room, which is pretty scary. But please come along. It's been a lot of fun. It got described in the music as an hour of in-jokes.
and then
in the Speaker TV review, that copied and pasted that part from the music review and put it into their review.
So it's been reviewed twice as an hour
as
of
an
in-jokes.
Hour of in-jokes. Originally by the music and then copied and pasted by Speaker TV.
Well, good on them. Thanks for covering the festival, guys.
Is there anything else you'd like to plug, Mark?
You've got the Aunties on a podcast.
Just
as
my
well?
Butt.
Come on, dude. Now I'm horny. Yeah. All right. You
finally,
got me.
Finally.
You can check out Auntie Donna at auntiedonna.com. We do YouTube and podcasts, and it's silly and fun, but you're probably not going to enjoy it. Maybe you will.
It's a lot of in-jokes, the music.
It's a lot of
in-jokes.
Yeah.
And I like to feel like, I'm one of these boys. I get it, or pretend to at least.
Oh, dude. You are. You're one of them.
You're funny, man.
You're funny, dude.
Oh, man.
And we love you.
Guys, that means So the world to me right now.
Well, guys, our Uber Eats
are just so excited.
Just arrived, so maybe we should have a bite.
So thank you so much for coming.
Oh, absolute
and
pleasure.
And when I say coming, I mean having us in your house.
By having us, I mean rooting us.
I'd also just quickly like to plug my Melbourne Comedy Festival show. It is on every night except Wednesdays at 7:30 at Trades Hall, which does exist as a venue, I swear.
I feel like Comedy Festival have really done something to get more people in this year. They've really bumped it up.
Really absolutely. Great. There's no bar, which is good.
Yeah.
And nowhere to hang. So if you want to come and just sort of only see a show and then get quickly ushered out of a venue.
It's a great, I haven't seen it, but I've read all your reviews because I do that and it's been getting a very positive response.
Cameron, you're very funny.
Thank you so much. Please come and see me live. I would love that. Lex, anything you got coming up?
Yeah, I've actually got Greenlights Comedy Night's 4th anniversary show at 8 p.m. Friday, the 28th of April at the Gaelic Club. It's $10. It's a secret lineup at the moment, but I'm hosting it. So it's only $10. The Gaelic Club, April 28th. You can find out more information on the Facebook page for Greenlights Comedy Nights.
We've got our other podcast, the Blank Slate Movie Podcast. We just talk about movies. And if you like what you've heard today, give us 5 stars on iTunes. And in your review, I'd like you to leave us the name and concept for what you'd like our next super specific actor-based podcast to be. And an example of that could be...
Oh, what's an actor you would like to see a podcast about, Mark?
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis. Give that ridiculous human being
and
a go.
What would it be called?
It would be called... Daniel Day-Lewis and the News. And it's just where all about...
We go through his movies and also current affairs.
He's just such a ridiculous human being. I'd love to get an insight into what that man gets up to.
Me too. Oh, well, thank you so much. You're a legend.
Loved it. Loved
and
being here. Thank
let's
you.
Eat our Uber Eats.
Let's do it.
I wish Uber Eats paid us. Good night.
Good night.
It's Mike Check, the podcast by Mike Myers. And to be clear.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.